Book of First John's a tremendous book. Last week I tried to again outline a little bit about the author of this tremendous text, and today I want to go ahead and look at the witness of this eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's go ahead and read the first chapter. I said last week that John is unlike many other writers. He is an expert penman. He is a superb writer. Some of that could be because he preached for 60 years before he took up his pen. And so this isn't anything new that he's writing down. It's stuff that he'd preached for 60 years. I don't know if you know very many preachers that have preached for 60 years. I know a few. And Pastor Ebersol that we heard the other night was down here at East Corning. I was a little teeny bopper when he came into East Corning. I still remember people talking about him out at Tuscarora Baptist Church when he come there and started that church. And some of my brother's teenage friends got saved when Pastor Ebersol came to town. He'd been down there, what did he say, 37 years again pastoring in East Corning. And so I just like getting around people like that, again, that have been stuck by the stuff, and there's a aura of the Holy Spirit about them. Well, here we're going to look again at a fella who's been not only saved and preaching the gospel for 60 years, but he is one of the 12 apostles, one of those ordained to build on that cornerstone of truth. And again, the foundation that is laid by 12 and only 12 apostles. The book that we hold in our hand was written, the New Testament in Greek, was written by those 12 apostles and none other, writ or ordained by those 12. And so again, it's not the church that gives us this book. It's the apostles. It's those eyewitnesses. And so watch again as we again read here the introduction, actually what I call the prologue to a book. Now, I can understand the Gospel of John having a prologue, and it does, and it's tremendous. A prologue tells you again everything that's going to be said in the remainder of the book. But when you pick up a letter, it's not normal for a letter to have a prologue. It's normal for it to have an introduction, or sometimes nothing more than a topic sentence again that gets things flowing. But here again, I want you to see that we're looking at a prologue and an epilogue in a personal letter that John wrote. And again, I just marvel at this author. And I've been taking writing classes for the past 6 years here, ever since they said I need to work on my writing before I can write my dissertation. And I have. But I still, I'm in a writer's guild up in Auburn, and they still don't give me passing marks as far as my writing goes. But I love, again, to look at the Apostle John and the things he wrote. And let's go ahead and look at this precious little epistle. We said last week it was written to the Gentiles. And to differentiate from 2 John, which was written to the saved Jews, and from 3 John that was written to a personal friend. The Gospel, of course, of John was written to all of mankind, giving again a representation or a presentation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Revelation was written to the seven churches, even as he was commissioned by Christ. And so we've looked at a little bit of introduction to the apostle as a writer last week. Today, let's go ahead and delve into this prologue in this letter. And as we read it, understand again that it contains everything that's going to show up in the letter is found in these verses that we'll read this morning. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. First epistle by John to my little children, he says later. Notice again, it begins in 1 John 1. You follow along in your Bible as I'd read. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And then it's got this chapter, verse 2 is a parenthetical or a parenthesis in there. And look at the importance of that. Look at the clarity that's brought out here about what is manifest. Notice again that word's repeated twice in this little parentheses. For the life. What did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, plural here, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Father, praise You. Thank You again for Your word. Thank You again, Father, for Your hand on the apostle that's preached, the beloved disciple. It's now the beloved apostle. And Father, I pray again that we'd absorb some of his love for You as we'd look again at this precious little epistle left for us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we look at that again. I want to emphasize that that is the basis of everything that's in the book. And again, as we look at that little chapter, those few verses that we read, I just want to again emphasize that everything that John wants to talk about is right there in a nutshell, in a nugget. And so as we look here first, notice his introduction, that which was from the beginning. When John talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, his introduction is always worthwhile. I wrote previous that when the Lord Jesus Christ introduces the Holy Spirit, there's no other introduction that needs to be made there in John when he does that. But there's no per se introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ made by God except hear what John has written. And again, notice again that it says here, that which was from the beginning. A little tease in here. I've always wrestled with the idea of who, when John wrote these things down, remember he was commissioned in Revelation by the Lord Jesus Christ to write the things that thou hast seen. That's what we're reading here. He wrote the things that he had seen. He wrote the gospel after his vision of Christ on the Isle of Patmos. And that's again what makes the Gospel of John a precious book for our study. He wrote these three letters, and then he wrote the Revelation when he began to write the things that are, is what Jesus told him. Write the things that thou hast seen, write the things which are. And he wrote the seven messages of the seven churches on the Isle of Patmos. And the churches were across Asia Minor. But again, they're across the world today. And we have the same need in this church age that we live in. And those seven messages of those seven churches is equally applicable to our lives today as they were when Christ penned them for John. The messages to the seven churches. And then he said, I like this part as well. And we'll take a look at this again in October. when we do our Hunt for the Last October Bible Conference here. Again, he said, write the things that shall be. And that constitutes, again, the book from Revelation chapter 4 all the way to 22, which is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the divine. It is a revelation of his second coming. It's a revelation that's certainly needed in this world. And boy, I could go off on a tangent here and talk again about the error of all of the other churches that, again, who miss the rapture of the church and don't teach that. It's because they believe in covenant theology. And covenant theology is something that has engrossed all of the Protestant churches. And they're wrong. The church is not a replacement of Israel. And the church does not take the place of Israel in the eyes of God. And so they're wrong on that count. And when they're wrong on that count, they're wrong on so many other things that it's dangerous. And they quickly slip into apostasy because of that erroneous look at God's holy word. And so, here, when we're looking at this first epistle, even his three little epistles here can go sideways when you have the idea that you are now the elect lady. When they teach that the church is the elect lady, they've missed, again, the heart of the teaching of the Bible. And so that's a tangent I often go off on. Because it's such a serious thing that's happened to Christianity, as it were, in this world. But here again, this little epistle is written to my dear children. And as we look at this introduction, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. His first introduction that he wrote, again, probably is off in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. What is a word, anyway? It's a communication device. It's a tiny little unit that we use for communication. Some of us don't use them so well. But again, a word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I hold up before you here the Word of God. And we worship today the Word of God, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, it says in His Gospel prologue. It also says that that was the true light. There's a light that shines in the world, and that was the true light that lighteth lighteth the heart of every man. Nobody's missed the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name used more in curse words than in communications today in America. And again, understand the audacity to hate the Lord Jesus Christ and try to remove Him from all aspects of our society is rampant in our world today. Boy, I'd encourage you not to bend nor bow to those false gods of this world. And we just read old Daniel today, and praise the Lord, he would not bend. There, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bend, would not bow. They lift up a false god, a false image, and ask us to worship that. But boy, again, understand that here John was explaining that was a true light, and it lights the heart of every man that's born in this world. Didn't miss any. Didn't miss any of your kin. They know again about the Lord Jesus Christ. Down inside their heart, they know of Him. There's a light that shined on their heart and life. Some have rejected and walked their own way. Some have not paid at least bits of attention to that light. But that light is there. Boy, if you give them a little gospel message, again, that'll burn in their heart with that light. They won't be able to pillow their head with that verse spun in their head. And again, without recognizing again that, hey, there's a light that shines. And so he's called about the light. And notice the emphasis in this prologue on the light that's coming up. But notice especially here his introduction about the Word. The little parentheses that we put in there, that he put in there again, and we emphasized as we read it, is the fact that it was manifest. If you don't know what that word means, You don't need a dictionary to figure it out. All you need to do is look at his description here of how it was manifest. Our eyes have seen, we have looked upon, our hands have handled, our ears have heard. God was manifest in the flesh, it says in his gospel message. And so we see a manifestation of God in the flesh. I'm ashamed that sometimes I forget that during the week. I'm ashamed that sometimes I forget that while I'm praying. That the Lord Jesus Christ is a manifestation of God in the flesh. John, again, when he comes on the Isle of Patmos, falls down before him. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes up to him and puts his right hand upon him and says, "Fear not." That's the Lord Jesus Christ that we worship.
Yeah, amen.
And in his introduction here again, he gets a taste of what he has witnessed. The fact that he has seen God. Boy, again, don't forget that. Don't let that slip from you. Look at the verse 3 again. He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." Again, I'd emphasize that he was one of the 12 apostles. There were only 12 apostles. There's 12 foundations in the city. One of them is for each of the apostles. There's 12 gates in the city, and one is for each of the tribes of Israel. And so, as we look again at this revelation, understand here that this apostle, again, is the one who preached this for 60 years and now takes a pen to write this down. And notice he gives his reason in writing here again, as he says, "That ye also may have fellowship with us." You've heard the word fellowship before. What's the simplest definition you ever heard of fellowship? Anyone heard that? Can repeat that? Two fellas in a ship. That's right. And so two fellas in a ship got a border there they can't get outside of, and they're stuck together. And so they fellowship, two fellas in a ship. This here, as we go on in this description, is even more precious than that. This is, again, in fact, jump over to chapter 2 and look at the first verse. And I read this last week in our scripture reading. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." My little children. And so he's writing here to family. This is a family letter. And not only are you stuck in a ship with me, praise the Lord, but we're family. And that's the emphasis that's captured in this little book, is that we are in fellowship, and we're in fellowship. Look at what it says there in that verse 3. "In fellowship, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." A lot of people like to tear the Trinity out of 1 John chapter 5. But boy, again, understand that the Trinity is found throughout the Word of God. You might not find that word there, but you'll sure find God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so here, notice again that our fellowship in the family here is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Later on, John writes to the elect lady, as he says, which is the tribes of Israel that had become believers. He's still writing to believers, but he's writing to the Jews, and he says to them that this is written by the elder. Look at that next book there, and it says, I think it's even in the first line of the book in 2 John, "The elder unto the elect lady." Look at 3 John. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius." And again, if we were to transliterate that elder, it would come across sounding something like presbyter. And so to understand again that this is John, again, writing as the elder. Here in this book, in 1 John, he's writing again to my little children. And it almost sounds like the father, but he's not the father in the family. He is again introducing us to the Father and the family when he's introducing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to see the family. I want you to see the fellowship. This theme again follows throughout the remainder of his book. It's all about the fellowship. It's all again about family and being family. You know what you got to do to be kicked out of the family? Listen, in your blood, you can't get kicked out of the family.
Amen.
There's people who have tried to kick people out of their family. And there's probably been justification for some of it again. But again, to understand that, hey, we're family, we're blood, and when we're in, we're family. Brother DeWitt was here, wrote a book a while back called Accepted in the Beloved. I still got a copy of that. I love that title. And it's right out of the Bible, and that's what we are. All of a sudden, we're accepted in the blood. I don't care what side of the tracks you came from. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what language you speak. You are accepted in the beloved. You are now accepted in the family.
Amen.
And listen, one of the things that's emphasized throughout here in this message is that, hey, if we're to have fellowship one with another, it doesn't matter whether you like somebody or not, if they're in the family. And we're to have fellowship with them. And we're to love them as brethren. Jesus said, by this shall you know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. If you love the brethren. If you love, again, fellow Christians. And praise the Lord, you're here this morning. If you love fellow Christians, you're going to want to gather with them on the first day of the week and worship. I will love my job with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind. Ooh, yeah, I've met a lot of people live there, all right. And we're not to. But again, I look around here. This is family. And when you find a saved person, I just talked with Joe Matichero. He wants to come down and explain some of his missions. We love the Matichero's. We never heard of the Matichero's before. We ran into them in Italy when we were over there. And that's the father of Damon. And Lisa, I think his wife is down in Zambia, Africa. And boy, we just come knit with the Matichero's. It's like we've known them all our life. And again, who's that other missionary that was here that was a retired Air Force engineer? The Corners, Brother Corner that was here. We'd like to stay here till 2 in the morning just talking about things because we's like family immediately. So some people we become bonded in family with. Other people, all families have black sheep, I suppose, you know. But listen, we're to have a love for the brethren. And we'll see that played out in here, that this is a whole book, a whole letter. And his concern is that we have fellowship. And so we see this in his prologue here, that it's all about fellowship. This then is the message, that we have fellowship. And notice it goes on, verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Listen, if you're in the family and if you're in fellowship, you've got the light. And there's a lot said about those that would rather live in darkness. But listen, that shouldn't be a Christian. And we got some emphasis here on the fact that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is love, again, shows up in this. Some of the attributes of God are now your attributes, are now belong to us. I was reading my Bible, I think it was in Romans, trying to outline Romans last year. It was when I read that verse that said that you were once darkness. And I never read it that way. I always read that you were once in darkness. But we weren't just in darkness, Brother Bill. We was darkness itself.
Yes, sir.
Listen, before we got saved, we were darkness. And wherever we went, we spread our darkness. We had unbelief, and because we had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, nor believed in him. And we spread darkness. But now, again, there's light pierced inside of us. If we're in this fellowship that he's talking about. And now notice again that there's light in us. We used to be darkness, it says over there in Romans. But now you are made light. Amen. The thing about light, again, is it over overrides darkness.
Amen.
You can be sitting in this building with the light on and the sun starts going down. It gets dark outside. Notice that darkness doesn't start creeping into this building.
Amen.
When the light's on again. And so same thing as in your life again, that we are to be light. And so we see little characteristics about this fellowship. And again, quickly got to run through several of them. If we say we have no sin. Ooh, boy, there's an emphasis on that. Again, this is still in the prologue. He hasn't entered the meat of the message yet. He's talking about the fellowship that we could have. What's the first thing that breaks fellowship?
Sin.
And notice again, just read down through this a couple times. And notice the difference between sin and sins. I've gone through my Bible and looked at all the salvation messages I've ever preached again and all the salvation verses I've ever quoted and said, is that talking about sin or is that talking about sins? And listen, we need to be forgiven of our sin before we could be forgiven of our sins. Understand, we have a sin nature. We have iniquity and that needs to be dealt with. That's dealt with at the cross. That's salvation. That Christ died for our sin. And again, He takes care of the sin problem.
Amen.
And notice you see emphasis even here. That once that sin problem is taken care of, praise the Lord, that's gone, gone, gone. But don't try and pretend that there's no more sins in your life.
Amen.
Don't try to take up the teachings of Charles Finney and become a... not a once saved, always saved. We're all that, praise the Lord. But the idea of that we can have sinless perfection. That's what split that church over there in Ithaca. It's a bunch of people come in with an evangelist and say, hey, no, we don't sin. I've never sinned. Stop all this preaching on sin because I don't sin. Yeah, that's appealing to man that, again, we're holier than sin. But we're not. We live in sin. And our thoughts, our sin continually, and our flesh that we're carrying around in this old body, again, it's sin, and it's sin-laden. And so that breaks the fellowship that we have. Yeah, it's good to be saved, but again, notice how quickly sin breaks that fellowship with God. And where there's a lot of Christians living in a broken fellowship. We talked in Sunday school a little bit about how far you can go in broken fellowship. How far you can continue on in sin. If you really have your sins forgiven, can you go and on and without that? Can you go on without that fellowship? Can you go on in broken fellowship? Can you grieve the Holy Spirit so badly that He won't bring you back? Yeah, absolutely. And we got witness of that in the Word of God. But again, to understand that He's still going to deal with you again.
Yeah.
And like Bill said, if you got an ear to hear, He'll deal with you. But some have just sinned to their fill and never came back. What of them? Well, God will take them out of here. Again, if there's such a testimony that they're hindering His purposes, He can take them out of here. But again, understand here that sin is what breaks our fellowship. And notice the emphasis here. Don't pretend you don't have any sin. Right on through to the very end of the chapter. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us, and we are not in the fellowship. Are you in the families? The question that we want to ask here today from this introduction. And if you are in the family... Listen, you are in the family.
Amen.
And there's no coming back out.
Yeah.
If you are in the family, there are pretenders. There are those, again, who can give you all the answers and act like they're in the family. And I just warn you that we need to be conscious of that. I don't think you need to be too careful of that. Because when you're in the family, John goes on here to say they went out from us because they were not of us. And so again, to understand that hey, we have a fellowship. And when we look around, we have a family in fellowship. Let me just cover real quickly some of the outline. We'll go into each of these in great detail. First off is the incarnation here that the Lord Jesus Christ is the founder of this fellowship. Number two is a fellowship, we are family, and a description of how tight that fellowship is. And the fact that we are in fellowship with God the Father. And again, He is the Father, and we are little children. There is a non-family, some warnings about non-family in the secular world. And even the religious world that are non-family to be warned about. Then there's in chapter 2, there's going on with family about knowing each other. To know the members of your family. And to love and to care for and to watch out for. Even if they're not in Good Samaritan Baptist Church, you have undoubtedly have some family outside of this church. I'm not talking blood family, I'm talking spirit family. That you know of, and they might not go to church here. They might be being led in error. Some might be in an apostate church. But listen, you can still have a witness that they are family and a love for them. So knowing family, recognizing family, he covers some of that here, how we can know family. How's family going to do at living together? Praise the Lord. Some of you have got family relations that I don't envy. Some families I've seen haven't spoken to each other in years again. And fights can break out at family that go till death do us part, unfortunately. And so again, some families just love a good fight. And they, if there ain't one going, they'll stir one up again. And so family can fight. But they ought not. And again, Christians, when we liken the family here, again, understand that that sin ought not to come. Living together. He's got some things in chapter 3 about living together. A family needs to be able to know false teachers. He's got some things in chapter 4 about knowing false teachers and knowing the little divisions and the little things where people even have come into Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We mentioned that a little bit in Sunday school. I was counting on my hand. I got too depressed. About people that have left here, some of them to hate us for 20 years, have left here because, well, that Pastor Rice, he's so controlling and he's, listen, that's because they couldn't get their little sideways things put in here again. And so understand again that there's lots of things that, even today again, that try to get into Good Samaritan Baptist Church to turn this church sideways. There's people who have said they'll never come here until I accept 5 points of Calvinism. Well, I sure would like to see him come here, but listen, that ain't going to happen. And so again, there's doctrinal things again that keep people out of here. And again, there's things again that happen. There's flat earthers again. That breaks my heart again that people get so stuck on that that they can't come in fellowship with us. But again, to understand that there are false teachers and they're present right here. I'm talking, yeah, Harold Camping is a false teacher about the end times. And there's the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, Latter-day Saints, and all of that stuff. Those are all false teachers. And usually we recognize that. But listen, when some of our own come in here, when some of our own family comes in and starts teaching false teachings again, we just need to be aware that, hey, there's false teachers and false teachings abound. And so we see a warning about false teachings. And then for fellowship and for family, notice again, the book closes in a tremendous assurance that, hey, just stick it out. We're going to be here to the end. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be victor. And so we see all those things coming up in the book. And we see them described here in the fact that, hey, make sure your fellowship is with the Father. And listen, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where your joy becomes full. Yeah, well, there's trials going on in Good Samaritan Baptist Church, but we can have joy through trials.
Amen.
And we can hold on to that joy. I listened to a song. My radio only picks up like one station anymore, which is one more than my truck radio picks up right now. But it's an AM station out of Penyan here, and they played this song. Don't worry, be happy. And I was listening to the words of that song. These are songs out of the 60s, I guess, 70s. And it's interesting, some of the words that they come up with there again. But don't worry, be happy. Listen, we've got more than happy. We've got a joy.
Amen.
Happy works with circumstances, and happy can disappear in a moment. But listen, you got a joy that's deep down in our soul because we know and we have fellowship. And then our fellowship, two parts here. Our fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's precious. It's indescribable. And we need to bring it to our conscience pretty regular. That when we walk down and we come to the garden alone and we walk with Him and we talk with Him and we put our hand in His nail-scarred hand, boy, it's precious to have fellowship with God the Father and be called a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's precious. But listen, that's not all there is. And notice again that he says here, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Never forget that. But listen, all the rest of the emphasis of this book is that, hey, we here need to be in fellowship together. We need to, again, care for one another as family. Yea, more than family. We need to care for each other as Christ. And so we have a tremendous outline here, and it's all portrayed in those first few verses. The emphasis, again, is that we have a fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two things about sin. Number one, the taking away sin is what brings you into that fellowship. You can't bring your sin into the fellowship. And number two, once you're in the fellowship, once you are born again, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and put Him as King of your soul and your life, again, understand that there can still creep in sin that's going to break that fellowship. And it'll break the fellowship with family. Accepted in the beloved. What a tremendous thing to be. But again, understand that that's fragile when we're dabbling around with sin in our lives. Father, praise you again and thank you. I thank you again, Father, that we have some promises here given in 1 John. And Father, greatest again is that any one of us can have that sin gone right now. Sin and sins can be removed when we confess our sin. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. When we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to put us back in fellowship. We thank you for that great promise. And to ask again that you'd give us a new flavor for the fellowship that we have with you, a new flavor for the fellowship that we have with family here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. And may we grow even because of the words that your beloved disciple penned here in a little letter to us specifically, that we'd understand what we have and what you did for us. We'll praise you now and thank you for encouraging, blessing, and touching the heart of each one through the words of this old book. May we be strengthened. May we be empowered. Touch our day of worship and touch again our first day of the week. Yea, Lord, touch our whole week. As we look for you to do great things, we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a hymn of invitation. And let's try, on fellowship, let's try number 304. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Let's stand. God's tugged on your heart, dealt with something again that you need to deal with at an altar. You do that during our invitation. If you're here and you didn't get that sin thing taken care of and you're not in the family yet, boy, you need to take that get that taken care of here this morning, that you again get added to the family of God, make Him your Father, and cause again that you leave that old world behind and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of your soul, the Savior of your life. If you need to do that, you come and do that at an altar as well today. 304, nothing between. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, there's nothing.